We're going to read in the book of Isaiah this morning, in the 64th chapter. I want to talk a little bit about revival today, and I think we're all very much aware of the fact that there's a great need for revival in our personal lives, each of us individually, in our homes, our families, our church, our community, our nation. Amen. No military power is going to be able to do it. No political, no election is going to do it. Every one of us here today, we all need God to move in us fresh and mighty and powerfully. Amen. Amen. I admit my need of help from the Lord, my need for his touch. Adrian Rogers said, I want to tell you, revival is not only possible, it's not only possible, he said, it is inevitable when God's people get right with him. Amen. It's inevitable if the people of God will get right with the Lord. That's where it starts, in if my people, which are called by my name. It starts with you and me. It starts with the church, the people of God. Yeah, there's a need all throughout our land, but that need begins, the answer begins, whenever the church accepts our own responsibility to seek the face of the Lord, to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's read here in Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. This is a prayer. And just read this, as we read this, just think about this as a prayer unto the Lord. That thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. The mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence, when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned, in those is counted, is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people, thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all of our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us sore? The prophet is speaking to the condition that Jerusalem is in, Israel is in, as a result of the captivity, stolen away in captivity. The people of God have been warned over and over again in their idolatry, in their rejection of God, in their turning away from the Lord. They were warned over and over and over and over. But finally, there came an end to God's patient dealing. It came an end to that, and they were stolen away, taken into captivity. His work was destroyed. The walls were destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And everybody was without hope. There seemed to be no answer, no way that anything could ever change or turn around. You see, they had all become so self-sufficient, so full of idolatry, and they would not heed any of the warnings of the Lord. And eventually they found themselves in Babylon, in captivity. I think that God has warned America many, many times. We've had opportunities to hear the voice of the Lord over the years. God has raised up men and women of God who have been a voice for righteousness' sake in our country. And the need is for a sovereign, mighty visitation of God, a mighty move of God. Now, why would God withhold his hand? Why would God withhold his mighty power on our behalf? You see, whenever we reject God and we turn away from the voice of the Lord and we are self-sufficient over and over and over again, then God withdraws. The Bible says if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh unto us. But if we hold back, if we pull back, if we are self-sufficient, if we are not calling upon the Lord and dependent upon the Lord, then the Lord pulls back. And that was the situation in the case of Israel in Isaiah 64. And God had pulled back and was not there to deliver the people from the judgment and the captivity that came their way. We know that revival is a sovereign move of God. That just means that God moves whenever he wants to move. But the scripture says in John 3 and 8, the wind blows where it listeth, or as God chooses. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. The wind is blowing, and the wind does blow. G. Campbell Morgan said that we cannot organize a revival, but we can set our sails to catch the wind. And that's what God has called us to do as his people, to turn our hearts toward him, to turn our affection and our attention toward him, and to set our sails toward him, so that when God begins to sovereignly work and move, as we cry out to the Lord, Lord, send revival, move, Lord, then we're ready for it. And God begins to work mightily among his people. So it is true that when we become self-sufficient, when we become self-focused, we're only concerned about our own lives and what's important to us individually, then we see that God turns away from us. He withdraws, and we experience the sad feeling of no move of God, no word from God, no anointing of the Holy Spirit, no power with God. And oh, what a terrible thing it is, and what a terrible thing it would be if we would find ourselves in a place where God wasn't working, God wasn't moving, God wasn't revealing his mighty power in our behalf. Amen. Isaiah's praying this prayer concerning the condition that Israel has found themselves. His prayer, this petition to the Lord was, O Lord, that you would rend the heavens, that the heavens would open up. You know, God loves to open up the heavens. And it should be that as the church and believers, that we have this communication with God at all times, that we actually live under an open heaven, where there's this divine connection all the time, that we are in communication with the Lord, and we're walking in this wonderful fellowship with the Lord. He's promised that we would have direct access to the throne room of God, and that we could ask what we will, and He would do it unto us. But if God withdraws and closes up the heavens, you've heard the phrase before, the heavens have become brass, or the heavens have become hardened, and we can't seem to break through, to pray through all of the hindrances. But the scripture says we can draw nigh unto Him. We can draw closer unto Him. And the heavens may be like brass, but you can draw nigh to the Lord, and He's promised, I'll draw nigh to you. The heavens might be brass because of the enemy's attack against the people of God. He hinders our prayers, just like He did the prayers of Daniel. For 21 days, Daniel prayed and fasted. The prince of Persia resisted that prayer for 21 days. But finally, the heavens opened and the prayer broke through. And so if you'll remain faithful and persistent, God will answer prayer. Amen. Glory to God. That Thou wouldest rend the heavens so that the heavens would be open, that Thou wouldest come down. You know, God loves to come down and to minister to His people. He loves to come down and reveal His mighty hand in behalf of His people. He came down in the form of a little baby to bring salvation to the world. He came down on the day of Pentecost to provide power for the church. He has come down many times. Actually, the history of church revivals are just the history of God opening up the heavens and coming down and meeting the needs of people, pouring out His Spirit upon people who were fervently seeking the Lord, calling upon the Lord. So there's no difference. There's no difference today than at any other time in history. You say, oh, but I'm waiting on things to straighten up, and then I'll seek God for revival. I'm waiting for all my problems to be solved, and then I'll seek God for revival. I'm waiting for all the issues of our country to get straightened out, and then that'll be a time for revival. No, you've got it backwards. It all starts with our walk with God. It all starts with our relationship with God. You've got problems? Sure, you have needs. I understand that. But the real issue is, are you seeking after God with your whole heart? And if you are, then that's the solution to a lot of the things that you're experiencing right now. God, when He comes and reveals His mighty hand in your life, then all of these issues and problems and worries and everything that you're facing, God is able to deal with all of these things. Amen. I believe that right now, at this location, First Pentecostal Church, right here in London, Kentucky, that God's plan and His best for us is for us to be experiencing a mighty outpouring, a mighty sweeping revival. Amen. And so don't wait for everything just to line up perfectly. Just go ahead and seek God. Just go ahead and believe God and trust that He's going to pour out His Spirit. Revival can bring about the change that you're already praying about in your family or your children or your home or on your job or whatever that it might be that you're facing right now. It's a personal thing to seek the Lord. Lord, would You open up the heavens? Lord, would You come down and visit us in our present situation, in our present need? Because we need you, Lord, to be right in the middle, right in the center of all the things that are happening right now. Amen. I don't know all the problems that are represented in a service like this, but I know we've all got our needs. We all have our problems. We all are facing various challenges in our lives. And oh, we just need God to come and to reveal His mighty hand, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens, that Thou wouldest come down, and the mountains might flow down, that the mountains might flow down at Thy presence. You see, this is describing the response. When revival comes, things happen. When revival comes, people are affected. And there's a change, there's an effect that is felt as a result of revival. Mountains of pride and indifference, and mountains of selfishness, and mountains of worldliness, and all different kinds of obstacles to the work of God in your own life. When the presence of God is revealed, then all of those things just begin to melt away. When the presence of God comes, then all of these obstacles, all of these hindrances, they just begin to melt. When God comes down, He can melt all of the hindrances, all of the obstacles, all of the things that you're facing today. When the presence of God is poured out upon His people, then there's not one thing that is resistant to the move of God that is going to be able to resist what God wants to do. Amen. That the mountains might flow down at His presence, as when the melting fire burneth, to make Thy name known to Thine adversaries, and that the nations may tremble at Thy presence. Another response to revival will be that those that are away from God, those that are in sin, those that are in rebellion toward the Lord, they will sense what's going on. To you and I as Christians, the presence of the Lord is something wonderful and welcomed, and something that we enjoy and we're grateful for. But it's a person that's in rebellion to God, a person that's in sin against God, the presence of God causes them to shake. It causes them to come under real conviction. When the loss of this world, whenever revival comes to a family, to a church, to a community, people begin to shake and to quake under the convicting work of the presence of God. I'm telling you today, folks, we have politicians that are making fun of God. They want to remove God from everything. We have people in the public arena that are making a mockery of God and the Word of God. Those, you know, in the world of entertainment, they make a mockery of the things of God. Let me tell you, when God begins to move by His Spirit in our land, then they will shake. They will be convicted as a result of the presence of God. Amen. Thank God for Holy Ghost conviction. And when it falls upon a church, then for those of us who know the Lord, it's a welcomed thing. But for those that are in their sin, they become under the convicting power of the Spirit of God. And they shake and they quake. They're no longer indifferent to the things of God. They recognize that they are under the judgment of God. And God can move upon anyone. The hardest hearted person, the most resistant person to the voice of the Lord. Whenever the Holy Spirit begins to work in revival, then that person that makes a mockery of God and a mockery of the things of God, that person will fall under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a serious thing to make a mockery of holy things. It's a serious thing to make a mockery of the things of God. And I want you to know that a Holy Spirit conviction will change your attitude toward the things of God. Amen. It says that the nations will tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, we looked not for. Thou camest down, the presence of God. Oh, what a difference it makes when the presence of God flows into our lives, flows into our church services, flows into our ministries, flows into the work of God that He's wanting to accomplish. What a difference it will make in all of our lives. We should covet that. We should pray for that. Lord, send Your mighty power upon us, upon our lives, upon our services, on every effort of every activity and every ministry. Lord, pour Your Holy Spirit out and send conviction and cause sinners to shake and to quake. Amen. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. I've seen that before. I've witnessed that before. The Holy Ghost moving, and people are just so under the pressure and the conviction of the Holy Ghost that they either have to respond to the Lord, or sometimes they get up and run out the back door. They're so under the convicting work of the Spirit of God. So be it. God, move among us in that way, so that everyone can be drawn to You and drawn to Your presence, and will respond to the voice of the Lord. Amen. God can do just that. Amen. Verse 4, it says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside Thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him." When God comes down upon the church for the believer, for the saint of God, and that person that is a follower of the Lord, then this becomes a place of joy. This becomes a place of rejoicing. This becomes a place of real worship. It's no longer a routine. It's no longer just something we do because the preacher said, raise your hands, clap your hands, do this, do that. No, it becomes a joy. It becomes a response. It becomes something that is flowing out of your heart because you know God and you love God and you sense His mighty presence. The righteous will rejoice when the Holy Spirit is pouring down upon the church. Amen. I've witnessed this and have mentioned it a lot of times. When the Spirit of God genuinely is being poured out, young children even know it. Young people, you know, they're not distracted anymore. I mean, they become attentive to what God is doing. They're not, you know, the young are not even distracted. Everyone begins to enjoy and to bask in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And all of the distractions of our life are put away, and people become sincerely focused upon the things of God and what God is doing and how He is working among His people. Revival is something that we covet and we pray for, and we ask the Lord to send to our church, to our lives, to our community, that the Lord would pour out His Holy Spirit. What is it that stands in the way of revival? What is it that are hindering the outpouring of the Spirit? Let's look at verse number 6. We're all an unclean thing. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Our self-righteousness stands in the way of revival. Amen. Whenever we feel like we're okay, we're good enough, I don't need to make any changes, I don't need to strive for more of God, our self-righteousness stands in the way of us really entering into all that God has for us. You know, what we need to do, really all of us, I'm talking about from the preacher to every one of us here, we need to admit our need for God. We need to admit that we need more of God. We need His hand, His touch upon our life. And quit depending upon your past experiences and who you are, who you think you are. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and understand, oh, I need God. I need more of the Lord. I need more of His presence and His power. Your self-righteousness, your filthy rags, they stand in the way. We are all an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And they're big hindrances to us ever breaking through and to entering into all the new and wonderful things that God has for the people of God. So that just means every one of us here, every one of us, no matter how long you've been saved or served the Lord, you need to humble yourself and ask God, Lord, reveal yourself to me in a fresh new way. Pour your Spirit out upon me, Lord, in a wonderful new way, because He has things He wants to do for you. Verse 7, it says, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Another hindrance to revival is we're not stirred. We're not stirred. We're indifferent to the things of God. We're indifferent to our need for God. And if we would stir ourselves up, sometimes you just have to get a hold of yourself and realize, I got to do something about this. Spiritually, I'm just not where I need to be. I need to get back to prayer. I need to get back to the Word of God. I need to get back to real commitment to God, a real devotion. I need to get back to my convictions. I need to get back to the Word of God. I've strayed away from these things. And stir yourself up to see where you are right now in your walk with the Lord. When you measure yourself by what you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, can you honestly say, I'm closer to God? I'm walking with God in a greater measure than I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago? If not, in many cases, it's probably just not the truth. We are not. And we need to stir ourselves to the things of God, to the presence of God, and to what God wants to do in our lives. And there are things that are standing in the way, and much of it has to do with our own selfishness, our own self-righteousness, and our own lack of desire for the things of the Lord. Amen. I know of a church, I don't know much about the church, but I know of a church in Birmingham, Alabama, and this church is a massive church. They have, multiple campuses, thousands of people that go to that church. The pastor called the church to 21 days of prayer and fasting, and thousands of those people, literally thousands of them, pouring into the parking lot of that church at 6 o'clock in the morning. And when I saw that and realized, my, there are people who have a hunger for God. There are people that have an interest in the things of God, that have a real desire to get a hold of God. Let me tell you, God will hear their cry. God will hear their prayer. If they're honest before the Lord and are sincerely seeking God, God will move in that situation if people are really calling upon the Lord. Stir yourself up. Get a hold of yourself. Stir yourself up to what God wants to do in your life. Then it says, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Most of the places in the scripture where the word iniquity is used, it really is describing not so much the outward transgression of your sin, but more of the inward issues that you have. The inward issues, our iniquities have as a result of our iniquities, God knows what's going on in your thought life. He knows what's going on. Maybe no one else knows, but it's there. It's in your heart, your iniquities. And He's hid His face from us and has consumed us because of our iniquities. So it may be hidden sin. It may be things that are in your life that no one knows anything about, but you've allowed them to become an important part of your life. They've taken a place in your heart, got a grip on your heart and on your life. I want you to know that you need to come clean before the Lord, be honest with the Lord, and allow Him to do a work that's far more than just the surface things, the obvious things, but those hidden sins of our heart, the iniquities that no one else knows about that have caused us that stands in the way of us really experiencing revival. Verse number 8, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art potter, and we all are the work of Thy hands. You know, if we would be willing to put ourselves into His hands and to make ourselves available, Lord, I'm Yours. You make out of me what You want to make out of me. You do with me, Lord, what You want to do with me. If you would really be submissive to the hand of the Lord. Too oftentimes, we already have a plan for our life, a plan for what we want to do, for what we think is important. And then we say, Lord, here I am. You just do with me what You think You can do with me. This is who I am. But God wants you to come to Him and say, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm just clay. And put yourself in His hands and say, Lord, You shape me. You make me what You want me to be. That none of these things that have been so important to me, Lord, that they're not controlling my life and my future. But Lord, I place myself in Your hands. And Lord, You do with me whatever You choose to do with me. Amen. There are things that are hindering the work of God in your life and in my life, and we need to be honest before the Lord, because He wants to open up the heavens. He wants to come down. He wants to visit you. He wants to pour His Spirit out upon you and upon us collectively as a people, as a body. He wants to pour His Spirit out upon us, but we have to make ourselves available to the Lord. We have to allow Him to do what He's wanting to do in our life. When revival comes, things happen. Change happens in our lives in every way whenever God begins to pour His Spirit out upon us. Is that what you want? Is that the desire of your heart? Lord, open up the windows of heaven. Pour Your Holy Spirit out. Come down, Lord, and show Yourself strong to us right here at this location. If that's your prayer, if that's your desire, I want you to know that God will reveal Himself. Amen. He will pour out of His Holy Spirit upon you if you'll make yourself available to Him today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, this is the prayer of Isaiah for a nation that's been in captivity, for a nation that's been in rebellion. We know that God heard and answered this prayer, and God began to work. God began to move, and He allowed them to be restored back, to return back from their captivity, for the walls to be rebuilt, for the temple to be rebuilt, and for everything to be restored once again. God is a God that can restore, and He can help you no matter what that you're facing here today. Is your prayer, oh God, send real revival. Send real revival. If it is, then don't look at your brother, your sister, someone else across the building and say, I hope they get what they need from the Lord. But instead, take it personal, make it personal, and ask the Lord, Lord, would You pour Your Spirit out upon me individually and change me and work in me and shape me into what You want me to be. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray together. Would you stand, everybody, across this building today? Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord, that You can speak to us about the needs of this hour. And Lord, our own personal need, Lord, is great. And we recognize that we need your touch. We need your mighty power, Lord, to be manifested right here in this sanctuary. Oh, Lord, forgive us, Lord, of our self-centeredness. Forgive us, Lord, because we're so focused upon our own desires and our own plans that we haven't put ourselves into your hands, Lord, to shape us, to make us into what you want us to be. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, help us to be willing to allow you to work among us. What we need, Lord, God, is for you to come down, for you to come, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, and to visit us, Lord, to minister, Lord, to so many of us that are in need of a fresh touch of your presence in our lives. Oh, God, stir our hearts, I pray today in Jesus' name. Stir us, Lord. Meet needs, Lord, in this place, we pray. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Amen.